Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of building blocks, we were on page 14, section 2, letter C. Well, let's continue there today.
When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
And then the third judgment I want to look at here is the white throne judgment. This judgment is for anyone in all history who died without Jesus Christ, who died without salvation. This judgment does not determine whether or not they go to heaven. They're not. Instead, it determines the degree of punishment they'll receive in hell for eternity. Hell be worse for some than it will be for others. But understand, the best place in hell is a billion times worse than the lowest place in heaven. Now, we have after that the great white throne judgment. Okay. This judgment, as we said, is for anybody who died without Christ. And so, again, we've had the judgment seat for nations. We've had the judgment seat of Christ for the Christians. Now, this judgment seat is for the great white throne, it's called. And it's in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. I just wanted to get some of these things laid out before I go into those verses. But look, those at the white throne judgment are there for eternity. But it is worse for some than others. Now listen to Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, at this judgment, the white throne judgment, not only is the 7-year tribulation period over, now the 1,000-year millennium is over. Now at this great white throne, there sits the Lord. They try to flee from him, but there's no place found. So the dead, small and great, rich and poor, no matter who they are, they're going to stand before God that died without Christ. It says the books, plural, were opened. But then he adds, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. But the dead are judged out of those things that are written in the books, plural, according to their works. Now, that means God has every thought, every deed, every idle word, everything is written in their books about your life. So when you stand before him, you'll be without excuse. Every man is judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Hell, where they go to spend time until this judgment. There are people that died without Christ. I think of a man that died just a few months ago that I witnessed to on several occasions. I tried to get through to him. Nothing. I believe he probably died. I think that he was cremated. But whether he's cremated or not, I believe that he was in hell. And the rich man in hell said, I'm tormented in this flame. Now, you say, what's the difference between hell and the lake of fire? I think the difference is kind of like going from jail to prison. with the prison being much worse. And I think that that's what we're seeing in this particular instance. In Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48, as we look in relationship to this, it says this, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more." So what he's basically saying here is this. There are those that heard the way of salvation. Some of you have sat in churches, you've heard the gospel, you've had tracts given to you, and people have tried to lead you to Christ. And they reject it, but they're good people in our eyes. They're good citizens, they pay their bills, and they're nice, they do things for others. And there's a lot of things that we could say is good about that person. They've heard the gospel, but they reject it. Now, the man I mentioned earlier is somebody that was a school teacher, that was one that was involved in community things, but he was without Christ. Although he did a lot of good works, he was without Christ. Then there's that guy that may be the mass murderer. He may be some guy that some Muslim in the Middle East without Christ. It may be some guy in a jungle somewhere that's cannibalistic, or, I mean, we could just talk about the different types of depravity that's out there. These people never heard one time. Hell may be worse for that guy that had these opportunities and passed it up than it is for that guy that was so evil but just didn't know. God expects more. And Jesus is saying that in Luke chapter 12. Verses 47 and 48. So you have the great white throne judgment. You have for the unsaved. You have the judgment seat of there for the nations, the judgment of the nations. And then you also have the judgment seat of Christ. Three different times for these three judgments. Now, at the end of the tribulations, we go on here on page 14 of our Building Blocks booklet. At the end of the tribulation, Christ will return. This is the actual second coming of Christ. Now, at the rapture, he meets us in the clouds, so he doesn't at that time touch the earth with his feet. So a lot of times people think of the rapture as being the second coming. Not really, because he doesn't touch the earth that time. We just meet him in the clouds. The second coming at the end of the tribulation, we see that in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east, toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Now, what is so interesting about that? I've stood there on that mountain, and I've looked right up there onto the Temple Mount. But there are a lot of graves that are buried just across the street from that, facing that eastern gate. And what they believe is that there's one day God's going to come back and everybody's going to be raised, and they're going to walk right into the temple, right into Jerusalem. And they're right there. They're going to walk in there and meet the Messiah. And so they're buried in that place, and that's an expensive place to get buried. And a lot of them, you know, they bury one on top of another, on top of another, and so forth, and different things. We don't need to go into that. But I'm just saying is that that is at the end of the tribulation, when Jesus Christ comes back to set up his 1,000-year kingdom. So that's different than what we saw in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, where we're caught up in the clouds to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But the return of Christ, when he comes at this time, will be with the armies of the world are gathering together for war. We talk about Armageddon. Well, they'll be gathering together for war with one another when they see Christ, and they'll try to unite against him. And then that's when the blood flows to the horse's bridle, and in Revelation 14, 16 through 20. And so we'll see that if you look at Revelation 16, 18 through 21, and then Revelation 19, 11 through 21. Again, those are references written down in this book on page 14 under number 3. But all of that is there, and that happens at the end of the tribulation. And the world leader, the beast, and that false prophet with them are cast to the lake of fire then, and that's where they'll be forever. Boy, you die and go to hell. You die without Jesus Christ. You got the devil, you got the beast, the world leader, the Antichrist. You got him with you. You got the false prophet with you. You've got the devils with you. You've got some of these people from history past, the Hitlers and so forth. You got all those folks with you. And some of you say, I don't go to church because the hypocrites are there. Just think of what's going to be in hell with you forever, and you can't get escape them. You can't get away from it. Chained forever and ever. Okay, number 4. After Christ returns, he will set up a kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. This is referred to as the millennium. It will be a time of peace and prosperity as the earth has never known since before the fall of man. Isaiah chapter 11 is a good read about what happens at this time, and I would encourage you to go to Isaiah chapter 11 and read that. Also, you see in Revelation 20 verses 1 through 4 about that, and we looked at that just a little bit, and then you see that Satan is chained, also verses 7 through 10, he is chained there. And as a matter of fact, let me just say this. Well, I'll tell you what, you got Satan chained, you got all that going on there. And then Revelation 21 through 4, after Jesus comes back, it says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Why do they get killed in the tribulation? For witnessing for Jesus Christ and for proclaiming the word of God that is without error and preserved. And isn't it interesting, got people out there that claim to be Christians. They say, what do you mean, preserved word of God? You know, it may be preserved in all the old manuscripts, but we don't have it. If we look at your King James, that's not it. Huh. Well, here's people that die for that word of God. And they had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The Lord seems to like those that stick with the word.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's true. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.